Not that it distracted me. You know, she's beautiful. But go over the jump, and it feels all wrong because I've got too much speed, got too much velocity, and I'm way up, and I was off balance because it was too much speed. I don't know what I was thinking. I go over, and I just remember being off balance, and I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna land this not right. I gotta try and tuck. You know how it is with a snowboard. You can't really even roll really easy, especially me being new. I was new to the whole sport. So I tried to tuck, but my board caught, and I was like, there's nothing. So I went down with my hands first. The left wrist, you know, was fractured. Right wrist, praise the Lord, didn't. And so I remember getting up, I was like, oh, I just went backwards on the whole hill, just thinking, oh, I know that something's got to be broken. This does not feel good. And as soon as the prayer came up about your brother or your cousin, my wrists were aching. But what was I thinking, right? Just like the words that come out of our mouths. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Be thinking before we speak. Was I thinking before I went over that jump? It's just interesting how God brought that to our... And so here's what we're talking about today. If your bulletin, look at your bulletin. True, are your words true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind? So let's pray before I begin this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. And I thank you for everyone that is here this morning, Lord. I just pray that you would speak through me and may my words be inspiring, Lord. May you speak through me and may each one of us, Lord, just take something from today and grow closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what was I thinking? I went over this jump, and it's just as easy as our words. So Ephesians 4:29, as you read in your bulletin, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. That is, that it may benefit those who listen. So the point of this lesson today is to develop an understanding of what words we are allowing to come out of our mouths. Are they thoughtful? So today we're going to be looking over a quick overview about that. We must first realize how powerful our words really are and how they can affect others. So why do you guys think it is important overall, that we control what comes out of our mouths? And just think about that for a second. And I came up with the words, because our words are very important overall. Our words can edify, our words can discourage, our words can inspire what we're going to talk about, everything that we can talk about today. You know, they always say actions can speak louder than words. That's true too. But our words, when you're talking to somebody, it's amazing what you can do to someone and how you can affect them. Like the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, it's really untrue. I forgot to look it up. I was going to do that this week online about the anti-bullying. Maybe some of the teachers here in Warren know more about it too, but I know they're really big into trying to stop the bullying in schools today. And just what the kids are saying, oh, you're so fat, those shoes look horrible. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I mean, the teachers know exactly what's going on, and everyone's seeing it. I don't. But all the bullying and all the words they're saying to these kids are just tormenting them. They really, really can. And it affects everybody. Why don't you guys, if you have a Bible, or maybe if in the seat in front of you, let's turn to James 3, verses 3 through 6. James 3, 3 through 6. The title of the chapter is Taming the Tongue. In verse 3 it says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. The Bible is saying here that the tongue is so powerful. Just with a word, it can set a spark. Have you ever guys you see a movie where, you know, two guys kind of meet each other in a hallway or whatever, and they look at each other, and as soon as someone says something negative to the other, you just see this total, like, dude, back off. Like, just sets them apart. That's just that little tiny spark. And then all of a sudden, it can turn into a fire if greater things are done. And there's so many different relationships. I want to show a video, a very powerful video, from the movie Fireproof. Some of you guys may have seen the movie, maybe you haven't. It's a great movie. In this scene, it's just a conversation between a husband and a wife, and just listen to the words and what happens through this scene. Just from a little spark, and the spark turns into a fire. That fire is damaging. It's going to damage the relationship. It was really funny. My wife and I, we were driving through into Grand Forks this week, because she's like, of course, we've had, you know, a couple weeks off, the baby's new. And we said, we need to get into Grand Forks. We really do. And so it's okay, well, let's get out of the house. So we go to Grand Forks. As we're going through Alvarado, smoke. The whole house is on fire. Might have started by a small spark. And that can happen in a relationship. Let's show this video. Fireproof, scene 3, husband and wife, source. Things.
Doing?
So you left me no pizza.
Caleb, I just lit that candle. I like the way it smells.
Well, I don't. Did you leave me any dinner at all?
I assumed you were eating with Michael.
Does it not occur to you that there are two people living in this house and both of them need to eat?
You know what, Caleb? If you would communicate with me, maybe I could have something for you.
Why do you have to make everything so difficult?
Oh, I'm making everything difficult? Seems to me like I'm the one carrying the weight around here while you're off doing your own thing.
Excuse me? I'm the one out there working to pay this mortgage, and I pay for both of the cars.
Yeah, and that's all you do. I pay all of our bills with my salary.
Which you agreed to do. That's fair. Do you not like this house? Do you not like your car?
Oh, Caleb, who takes care of this house? Yeah. Me. Who washes all the clothes? Me. Who gets all the groceries? Me. Not to mention I'm helping my parents every weekend. You know, I've got all this pressure on me, and the only thing you ever do for anybody is for yourself.
Let me tell you something. You don't know the first thing about pressure. All right? You think I put out house fires for myself? Or rush to car wrecks at 2 a.m. for myself? Or pull a child's body out of a lake for myself? You have no idea what I go through.
Oh, yeah, but what do you do around here other than watch TV and waste time on the internet? You know what? If looking at that trash is how you get fulfilled, that's fine, but I will not compete with it.
Well, I sure don't get it from you.
And you won't, because you care more about saving for your stupid boat and pleasing yourself than you ever did about me.
Shut up! I'm sick of you! You disrespectful, ungrateful, selfish woman!
I'm not
selfish. How dare you say that to me? You constantly nag me and you drain the life out of me. I'm tired of it. If you can't give me the respect I deserve, look at me. Then what's the point of this marriage?
I want out. I just want out.
If you want out, that's fine with me!
So, I suspect, because I know situations like this, I have seen with my own eyes. And I'm sure you have too. Somewhere along the way, maybe you haven't praised the Lord. But we have the power to allow this to happen from ourselves. We personally can say, I'm never going to get that angry. I'm never going to let words like that come out of my mouth. We personally can make that commitment in asking the Lord, God, help me never to be like that. And I vowed at a very young age to never do that, because I've seen that. And I said, I'm never going to be like that. Lord, help me, I said. Lord, help me. And to this day, I tell my wife, I said, honey, I love you so much, and keep me accountable to that. You know, if I ever get anywhere where you are afraid or you don't feel loved, let me know right away. So if you haven't seen the movie, I'd suggest you do. The movie's really about this guy here, Kirk Cameron. And by that time you've actually seen the movie, they're not doing so well. They look like they're going about to end marriage. And he goes on this 40-day love journey called the Love Dare to try and make ends meet. So he goes through these 40 days. And day one, this is day one, okay, for him. Day one is love is patient. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's Ephesians 4, verse 2. So this is what today's dare, what it says. It says, a part of day one is fairly simple. Although love is communicated in a number of ways, our words often reflect the condition of our heart. For the next day, resolve to demonstrate patience and to say nothing negative to your spouse at all. If the temptation arises, choose not to say anything. It's better to hold your tongue than to say something you'll regret. So it's kind of ironic that the first day of the 40-day love journey of this truth dare, of this love dare, is to have your words be communicated in love and to watch what you're saying. And through the movie, he does so well. He makes this nice cup of coffee and he sets it there and he positions the cup just right. He's putting the effort into really doing good for his wife, you know. So he sits there and she comes through and he's like, oh, I got your coffee ready. She's like, I don't have time for coffee. And she just leaves. And he's just like he really wants to say something negative about it, you know, and he's just like, okay, whatever. She didn't want it, that's fine. And through the movie, you know, he goes through these days, and I won't give the movie away, it was really awesome, trying to do it, and his patience is just tried. We have to be the same way. We have to be patient with what we are saying. Proverbs 17:28, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. So today we are going to use the abbreviations THINK, like the front bulletin. And we're really going to look at each one and how that will help us look at our words. So T starts with true. Are our words true? Are we telling the truth to those around us? Are we speaking truth into their lives? I thought I'd bring the definition of a lie just to help us contrast of what the truth is. The definition of a lie is to make an untrue statement with intent to deceive. Ephesians 4, if you guys want to turn there too, Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 25, I'm going to read them both if you want to turn there. Ephesians 4, starting with verse 15, we're going to read there. Ephesians 4, 15 says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. In Ephesians 4, verse 25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. I remember when I was just coming out of high school, and I had moved to Grand Forks, and I had all my friends there, and we were doing the band, and things were going great, and Jesse came back into my life. We started dating again. And then it was just it was interesting that I was very notorious for telling people that I would be in a specific place at a specific time. For instance, Jess would call me and she'd say, hey, want to meet me at a coffee shop? Sure. And she kind of sounded like, you know, to me, in my mind, I made up this idea like, she needs me there quick, right? I don't know why I thought that. I said, okay, I'll be there in 10 minutes. And at this point, I was across town. Plus, I had something to do real quick. There's no way I was getting there in 10 minutes. You tracking me? So even though my heart was right, I'm like, oh, I want to be there in 10 minutes. I'm really not going to be there in 10 minutes. To me, I didn't even know it was a lie. I wasn't even speaking the truth. Even though I was in my heart, I thought I kind of was. And it wasn't until Jesse really pointed it out, she said, Luke, you said you were going to be here. And I was doing this all the time. My friends would say, hey, you know, let's meet at the movie. What time are you going to meet me there? And I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, oh, I'll meet you there at 4:25. It wasn't that I wasn't punctual, but it was that if I was a little behind or if I got sidetracked, I wasn't being honest with when I was really going to be there. And to me, it wasn't really a problem until Jesse and one of my best friends really told me about that. I said, you know, you said you were going to be here, you know, 10 minutes ago, and it's half an hour later. I'm like, oh man, you're right. Well, I kind of got stuck behind a train, and then I was across town, and I was talking to this guy. So really, you should have said a half hour, and flat out conviction. So I was like, wow. So ever since that day, my wife can attest, I've changed a lot. When I'm at work, she'll text me. She says, when are you going to be home for dinner? And then I'm like, so then I wait. Okay, so then I wait for like 5 minutes. I make sure I'm in my car. And then I say, 30 minutes. Or I'll say, 4:32, because it's 4:02, and I'm going to leave. So she knows exactly when I'm going to be home. And I've done this for years now. So that way, because I've overcome that lie, that sin that I found that I didn't even know about. Simple as it is. So inside each one of us, there could be something small, something tiny. This is an example of what I didn't even know was a lie. It was a little white lie or a little lie I didn't know about. But any one of us could have that type of lie we have no clue about. And we just have to look inside of ourselves today and think, are our words true? Are they true? What are we saying? Are we saying truth? Are we speaking truth? Are we exchanging the truth for a lie? Are we sidetracked? Let's just think of that. We need to tell the truth, even in the small things. Okay, let's go on to H. Helpful. Are your words helpful? Philippians 2, verse 4. I got a couple verses on this one. Philippians 2, verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And 1 John 3:17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Kind of have another fun story. I love telling stories if you don't know me. But Jess and I had our baby a couple weeks ago. We were at the hospital. Britta will laugh with me as I tell this story, because it really is a fun story. We're driving. Well, I'm not driving in. Britta, my mom, Ellie, and Kira are all driving in to see us, and they're driving our van in, Jess and my van in, to see us and then come back. And they get all the way in there and they visit, and we had a good time, and it was awesome. They called us after they left. My mom says, "Your van's acting kind of funny." I'm like, "Well, what's going on?" "Well, the steering wheel is really stiff and it won't turn." "Okay, well, let me come down there. It's probably the power steering, because I had a similar problem like that before." Well, I get down there. "Yeah, I bet it's the power steering. Let's go to Holiday, see if we can get some power steering fluid in there." So I'm about to turn and I look at the gas tank. It's on E. I'm like, "Whoa, it's really on E." I kind of know the difference. I'm like, "That's really low. Oh, I hope we make it to the gas station." So we're going and we're cruising along, and everything's fine. We stop at a stoplight. I'm like, I kind of in my mind, like, is it going to stop? No, oh, here we go. Oh, phew. So we keep going. I can see Holiday now. We're getting there. Boom, we turn. Just as we turn, boom, 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 boom. It dies. And I'm like, "Come on, come on." And it's going like 10, 15 miles per hour. And it's slowing down 5. And I'm trying to turn up to get up. And then it dies and it stops. So we have to push it 30 feet to the pump. It's pretty cool. And God helped us there. That was really cool. That was pretty fun. And then, I mean, so we pushed it. All of us got out of the vehicle, and we pushed it up. Some guy jumped out of his car and helped us. He helped us push it up to the gas tank. We filled it up. Oh, great, we're saved. Now let's start this baby up and, get back to, put some power steering in it and get back to the hospital. Well, didn't start. I'm like, what's going on now? This happened a week before. It just wouldn't start. It was like my battery was dead or something. Well, I remember. Click, click, nothing. So I get a guy, I go inside the Holiday station, and I said, "Hey, do you have jumper cables? Do you have jumper cables? Do you have jumper cables?" And they're all saying, no, we don't. Who doesn't have jumper cables? I mean, I didn't have jumper cables because I had swapped jumper cables, and somehow randomly, I don't know, I have no idea how they weren't in there. I kind of think my wife sabotaged us and took them out. No, I have no idea. I have no idea where they were, but I always have them in there. And I'm like, well, someone's got to have some jumper cables. So I started asking like people in, you know, behind the counter. I said, do you guys have jumper cables? And I was like, well, I do. You know, he's like, I do. I'm like, do you think there might be a time where you could maybe help me? I guess. I'm just like, what? I was like, people just don't want to help anymore with their words or with their actions. I'm like, I can't believe this. I didn't say that to him. And so he's like, we'll be out in a little bit. So I got out to the car. He comes out with his jumper cables. He tries to jump it. Nothing. Well, I'm going to have to push it aside. So I push the vehicle aside. I push it to the back. And I call my aunt, Sherry, and I say, hey, you think you can come over here, pick up the kids, bring them back. They can take the car home. I'll deal with this later. Okay. So she comes. And then I'm inside the store. I'm on the phone with her. I said, I need someone to tow me or someone to, you know. And this guy comes up and he says, oh, I'll help. I'm like, hallelujah. Someone's willing to help me. This is awesome. Oh, it was great. But I'm saying, oh, I'm sorry. My aunt is coming on the way. So it's okay. Thank you so much, though. Thank you. How often, dude? So I was inspired by that. And anyway, so my aunt came and took them all back, and it ended up being the serpentine belt that had just shattered off. It wouldn't start nothing. Nothing would. It was just, that's what charges everything. So I got that taken care of, and we got the van back, and it's in the garage. And I'm going to come back to this now, okay? So serpentine belt, it's in the garage. We got it back. Another story is going to come after that. So think about someone that has helped you in some way, maybe with advice on something or personal wisdom. Didn't it make you feel cared about? I mean, really? Didn't it make you feel cared about? Maybe it was your dad that said something to you, that gave you advice. Maybe it was your mom. Maybe it was your child or your grandma, your aunt, your uncle, someone that gave you a piece of advice, helped you with their words and said something to you and said, hey, I want to help you with something. Listen to this. I got some information for you that you could use in your life. Imagine if that person didn't even care and didn't give you that advice or didn't do that. Imagine what you wouldn't have obtained. We need to offer our helpful words and understanding to those around us, especially those who ask for help. So be that person. Don't let the person freeze out in the cold when they're on the side of the road being like, my car's broke down. Because I've seen it. Now, you're not supposed to pick up hitchhikers, that's one thing, but if someone needs help on the side of the road, I know we would help. But I've seen a lot of people. Just last week, my dad said some guy was freezing cold and his car was broke down, and he was outside the road, and he had his arm up. Five cars in a row. And his car was broke down and he needed help. And he almost froze. Helpful. Helpful in actions and with words is helpful. All right, let's go on to inspire. Keep this ball rolling. Are your words inspiring? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Now, for a lot of you sports fans and fathers in the building, when I was a young boy, at the age of 8, I joined a little league team. And I was passionate about playing baseball. I saw my best friend, he was winding up, and he had this, the year before, he had this tee, and he'd hit the ball off a tee, and then he'd run to first base. I was thrilled. I said, I want to do that. My dad said, no, we're going to take 1 year break. We're going to wait, okay, son? But next year, we'll put you right in. We'll put you right in, okay? I'm like, okay, Dad, cool. And so the next year comes along, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to play baseball. And so I started practicing and thought, well, what position should I play? There's first base, second base, shortstop, outfield. I didn't know what to do, so I said, Dad, what should I do? And he says, you should try and pitch, son. All right, I'll try that. Sounds good to me. What should I do? And he's like, come on out here. So he brought me outside, and he's like, okay, here's your glove, here's your ball. And he rolled this tire over against by the garage. And he marked out, he measured out the right amount of space. He says, now pitch at that tire really, really fast. I'm like, and he propped it up, you know, so it'd be in the strike zone. So then I just sat there for days, for a week, 2 weeks. And I just sat there and I threw it. He said, throw as hard as you can right at that tire, son. And I just threw it at the tire. And Before I knew it, I was hitting the tire 7, 8, 9 out of 10. Maybe I miss it once. And all the time, just kept pitching really fast. Just kept throwing it. So I got back and I started practicing. I did tryouts. Sure enough, you're going to be pitcher, kid. I mean, the coach says, you're going to be pitcher. Because I was throwing strikes. And in Little League, you don't need to throw anything else. If you got a fastball, that's all you need. It's hard to throw strikes. Because they had all kinds of kids just walking. My dad inspired me to be a pitcher. And he even said to me, he said, son, because all the way through high school, I said, Dad, what should I do when I grow up? What should I do? Son, you could be anything you want. You could be a professional baseball player if you wanted to be. So that's what really got me on track. That's what really what made me inspired to become an athlete and to do great things, is because my dad inspired me to do that. And each one of us here today can inspire someone else to do something. Doesn't have to be a sport. Doesn't have to be anything. It can be, hey, you know what? You should join the worship team and become a musician. Or, you know, you should jump on our serving team at the church and serve in our church. Inspiring people to do many things. Hey, you should come to home group. We can inspire each other all over the place in so many different ways. You can do it. I believe in you. Keep pressing on. We actually won first place that year. It wasn't because of my strikeouts or anything like that. It was just because the coach and my dad was helping coach. And we inspired all the players to be the best that they could be and do the very best and put them in positions that would be best for them. It was a great year. But each one of us can inspire everyone around us in so many different ways. All right. Don't want to run out of time, so we're going to go right on to N. Necessary. Oh, before I go to necessary, though, let me do one last inspire. I'll finish on my van. So my van's parked in the garage this week, right? And I'm thinking, well, serpentine belt's fixed. Things are good. We're good to go. It's in the van. It's in the garage. And I thought, well, I better go try and start it up before I go to work, because I'm going to work tomorrow. I'm starting up work. Go out to the van. Click. Oh, I'll see if I can jump it. Nothing. Just deader than anything. So I called Chris and Tyler, and I had them push out my van, see if I could get a better jump, or see if we could push. I was just going to push it over to the undercar body shop. Sure enough, Harold Hamm, plowing snow, he actually plowed my whole area out, so I was all good to push it out. Pushed the van out. And, oh, hey, Harold, hey, I got a question for you. I got this battery here. I think it's dead. I think I need a new one. What do you think? Yep, you need a new battery. You tried it out. You need a new battery. Like, well, and I was going to just push it down to the undercar body shop. But he says, hey, take a look here. He brings me into the engine and says, okay, this bolt, this bolt, this bolt, this is a 10 millimeter, 13 millimeter, 15 millimeter, 8 millimeter, this one here. Pop it out, battery comes out, you're done. Put the new battery in, come on over here and I'll hook you up with a new battery. And we'll get it all done. In my life, I don't really like to do too much mechanical stuff, but this is pretty easy. I should be able to do this. But he inspired me to do it. Save me whatever, $6,100, whatever it cost to take, because it took me a while to do that. Because it was like, got to get under here and remove it like this, and go up here and remove it like that. I mean, that took at least an hour and a half, right? And I got the battery out. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh man, this is the original battery, 14-year-old battery in there. I couldn't believe it. So I took it over and he got me a new battery. Put it in, fires right up, starts like new now. He inspired me to do something, and I did it. It was interesting, one little tiny thing like that. But we can do that too. Okay, are your words necessary? Proverbs 17:28, going back to, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. So I thought of some unnecessary words, and I came up with gossip and rumors. Because I like to think gossip and rumors are pretty unnecessary. They can both be damaging and incorrect, which could result in someone getting hurt. So the definition of a rumor is a piece of unverified information of uncertain origin, usually spread by word of mouth. And gossip is casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about another person, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. So let's ask this question. How often have you guys, even day by day, are hearing rumors or gossips spread? Might be true, might be false, but how often do we hear it? We hear it a lot. I work at DigiKey. So when something's said at DigiKey, whether it's gossip or rumor, whatever, it goes around, man. I mean, before the email sent out, I'm hearing it, which is kind of crazy, because if hearing it from the people is, how does this happen? How I'm leading at DigiKey, I'm a leader at DigiKey, and I don't even hear this before you? How is this happening? I'm amazed sometimes, because as soon as one person says it, I'm going to put it in an email, and I'm going to send it to everybody in the PDC. That goes to that person, that goes to that person. Chain effect, man. Before the email sent out in 10 minutes, it's already all the way around the business. It's crazy. I'm not saying that's wrong or right. I'm just saying that's just how information can get spread. And that's how a rumor or a gossip can get spread as well. And if information isn't correct or if a rumor is spread, it can be damaging, depending on what it is. I'm curious, I actually have a kind of a small story about it. We had one lady clearing out all her stuff. And everyone's like, did you hear Sally got fired today? I'm using a name. Did you hear Sally got fired today? Yeah. They were moving all our stuff out. Next thing comes in. Hey, what you guys talking about? Sally, I think, is getting fired today. Yeah, they were moving all our stuff out. Well, that's not what I was seeing. I heard corporate was shooting her upstairs. She's got a new job. I don't know. I'm going to go talk to this person. Boom, this person goes talks, this person goes talks. This person's like, maybe they are right. They go talk, and now, is it a true or is it a false? So I say, when there's ever something like that gonna go on, my recommendation is either not say anything at all, which is hard to do, so here's the second thing you do. Go talk directly to the person involved. So go talk to Sally. Sally, I'm hearing stuff. How are you doing? Are you moving somewhere? I saw stuff getting moved out of your office. What's going on? That's the best way. Go talk to the person directly before any more gossip. Call them if you have to. Say, hey, this word going around. Is this true? Are those words necessary? That's basically what we want to come down to, is rumors and gossip are all over the place, and it can be destructive, but we have to be careful about it. Running out of time, so we'll go right to kind and we'll finish up. So the worship team has some more time. But kind, Proverbs 16, verse 23. Our kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. My little girl, Kira, she just loves Winnie the Pooh, right? And she's always saying, honey, honey. And it's so cute because she's in her crib and she wants to either watch Pooh. So we got our little Pooh stuffed bear. But she always says, honey. Honey. So now every time she says that, I'm going to think about my words. I want to be kind like honey. Sweet to the soul and healthy to the body. It's kind of funny because now I'm starting to put honey on my toast this last couple of weeks. It's actually pretty good. When are we most likely not going to want to say kind words to others? Mostly when they are not talking good about us or when we are at odds with them. Kind of like when it goes back to the misunderstanding between the two gentlemen I was talking about. Ephesians 4 verse 32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. All in all, God wants us to be kind to one another through everything. The Bible's saying it right here, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. And when I first got, I don't mean to keep using stories, but this is just the best way for me to explain. But when I first got the DigiKey, there were some people that, I'm in my 20s, and my late 20s. I'm at DigiKey and I'm leading people there, and I'm inspiring them to work hard and get the job done. And there are multiple different people that I'm working with in the whole PDC. Over 150 packagers, to be precise. And through all of them, they all look at me and see what I'm all about. And when I first started there, pretty much anyone over the age of like 50, certain people over the age of 50 didn't like me right away. They're like, who's this young punk telling me how to work? because they had already worked there for years. And I wasn't really telling them, but that's how that was the impression they set right away. So they'd say stuff like, hey, who are you? Who are you to tell me what to do? Like, and they, I mean, all kinds of different stuff. All kinds of different detail. I don't need to go into it all. Unkind words that did not inspire me to be kind back right away. But then in my mind, in my heart, I said, if I am showing them love, if I show them love and kind, and I show kind words back for what they're not dishing to me, God says in the end, it'll work out for good. So, all those people that just kept on hounding me and saying certain things that were to, you know, in some way, discourage me, I would continue to show them love. Today, I'm like best friends with these people. They're like, I'm just thrilled to work alongside them. And that goes with any situation, any business that we even come across to, any person we come across to. We have no idea their situation in life. And God just landed this on my heart to speak to you to this today, is we have no idea the conditions of a person's heart. We have no idea where a person is at in their life. Their brother could be diagnosed with cancer. Their wife could have just broken her leg. Yesterday, their car just went in the ditch and flipped and crashed. Today, their dog died. Whatever the situation is, we have no idea. A person could be, they could have 2 years to live. They might be, you know, dying with cancer themselves, and we have no idea. Why are people the way they are? Why are they unkind? We need to show them love through anything, with whatever reason it is. We have to show kindness to those because we have no idea the situation. We have to inspire them with our kindness and on our love. I'll share this last verse with you before the worship team comes up. It's found in Matthew, verse 12, 35 through 37. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I thank you so much for this morning. And I thank you so much that you've given us each a mouth to speak. Either encouraging words or discouraging words. We can choose. We can choose what comes out of our mouths, whether it is for edifying or for discouraging, Lord. May each one of us today, Lord, realize what's coming out of our mouths and know how it affects one another, Lord. I pray that you, Lord, would just have us, I pray that we would continue to think what was best, what is true and helpful and inspiring and necessary and kind to those around us. May our words glorify you and edify you as well as honoring one another, Lord, above ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.